Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Chapra conference call. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Adigadadar Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.19.26 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Lavanya Mataji. My humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Mataji, for this opportunity to serve all of you. We will start with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we will study one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 19th, verse number 26. Maitreya Muni is telling this Leela to Vidur. Maitreya Muni is saying, Tad bhigyaya bhagavan prithu parakramah indraya kupito vanam madattodyat takamurkaho. Word to word synonyms. Tat, that, abhigyaya, understanding, Bhagavan, the incarnation of Godhead, Prithu, King Prithu, Prithu Parakramah, celebrated as very powerful. So Prithu in Sanskrit also means very great or very large, and Parakrama means very powerful, very brave. So Prithu Parakrama, that King Prithu was, Prithu means Prithu King, and second Prithu means very great or large, Parakrama. Indraya, upon Indra, Kupitaha, being very angry, Banam, an arrow, Adatta, took up, Udyata, having taken up, Karmukaha, the bow. Translation, Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. So we will read the translation one more time, but I would like to very briefly give context. So this prasanga is that Prithu Maharaj, who is the son of the evil king Maharaj Vena, Prithu Maharaj is most glorious. He is an incarnation of Krishna, partial incarnation of Krishna. And Prithu Maharaj is anointed with all the saintly good qualities. He is a Rajarshi in the true sense. And he chastises Mother Earth for not supplying all the necessary ingredients for all the living entities to live, subsist on. Mother Earth provides everything. And what does Maharaj Prithu do when Mother Earth starts providing everything? Grass, trees, flowers, fruits, grains, and Mother Earth starts supporting the sustenance, not just sustenance, but the flourishment. Everyone starts flourishing, because Mother Earth starts nourishing everybody, the cows, the animals, the birds. The entire earth is prosperous. all the living entities become prosperous by the blessings and benedictions of Mother Earth. So when Prithu Maharaj receives all these precious gifts from Mother Earth, Mother Earth is an eternal consort of Krishna. She is an incarnation, she is an expansion of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. When the Lord came as Varahadev, he married Bhudevi, Mother Earth. So when Mother Earth was supplying all these ingredients, Prithu Maharaj, who is an incarnation of Krishna, he used all these gifts of Mother Earth for the pleasure of Krishna and for the welfare of all the living entities. He used all this for Yajna. So he started performing sacrifices, Ashwamedha sacrifices, 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. He made a sankalpa. And he performed 99 Ashwamedha Yajnas very successfully. All the devatas became very pleased. Krishna was very pleased. And all the benedictions were coming. And Maharaj Prithu's position was becoming more and more popular, famous, and powerful. Seeing the power and fame and glory of Maharaj Prithu increasing so much, everybody was happy except Indra. King Indra, who is the king of the demigods, he became envious because he thought that if Prithu Maharaj performs 100 sacrifices, then he will become the next Indra. He will become Indra and the current Indra, he was thinking, I will lose my power and position. So he became infected with envy. Indra's envy started increasing and he came and he stole away the horse. But Prithu Maharaj's son was given a hint by Atri Muni that just see, it is Devendra, the king of the devatas, Indra, who has stolen the horse of the sacrifice so that your father is not able to complete the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. So go and stop him. So Prithu Maharaj's son, who was also very powerful, he immediately went and he stopped. He confronted Indradev. Indradev got scared seeing the power of Prithu Maharaj's son. And he disappeared and went away. So the horse was returned to the sacrifice by the son of Prithu Maharaj. And because he won back the horse is called Ashwa. All the sages gave the name to Prithu Maharaj's son, Vijit Ashwa. Vijay means to win back. And Ashwa means horse. So the son, glorious son, who won back or brought back the lost horse of the horse sacrifice, the Ashwamedha Yajna, he became known as Vijit Ashwa. So Vijit Ashwa brought back the horse and the sacrifice began. But Indradev, using his power of rain and clouds, he created darkness. And in that darkness, he came under various disguises and stole the horse again. And again, Vijit Ashwa, the glorious son of Prithu Maharaj, he was given a hint by Atri Muni that look again in the dress of sannyasi, Indra has stolen the horse. So again, Vijit Ashwa chased after Indradev and brought back the horse the second time. And then Indra, in order to steal the horse again, Indra would not give up. Although he was embarrassed, although he knew it was sinful what he was doing, but he just could not control his envy. So when he started taking the guise of different pseudo renunciates, fake devotees who were in the dress of sannyasis. Indra started taking their forms and started coming there to the arena of the sacrifice to steal the horse. And yadyad acharati shreshta tatta deve tarojana. When all the people, they saw that Indra is taking these different makeups, these different fake identities, disguises, and he's coming with an evil intention, then people also started following. If Indra is doing, then we can also do. So they started, so all these apasampradayas of sannyasis, the false orders of sannyas, who are actually not devoted to Krishna, they came into existence because of Indra. Now seeing this sinful activity of Indra, that he is giving rise to so many apasampradayas, false spiritual systems, which is so detrimental to the spiritual well-being of the society, Prithu Maharaj very rightly got angry. And then this verse is being spoken. तदभिज्ञाय भगवान् पृथु पृथु पराक्रमः इन्द्राय कुपितो बाणम् आदत्तोद्यतकार्मुकः. महाराज पृथु, हु वाज सेलिब्रेटेड एज वेरी पावरफुल, इमीडिएटली टुक अप हिज बो एंड एरोज एंड प्रिपेयर्ड टू किल इंद्र हिमसेल्फ बिकॉज इंद्र हैड इंट्रोड्यूस्ड सच इररेगुलर संन्यास ऑर्डर्स. परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. It is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any irreligious systems. Since King Prithu was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly his duty was to cut down all kinds of irreligious systems. Following in his footsteps, all heads of state should themselves be bona fide representatives of God and should cut down all irreligious systems. Unfortunately, they are cowards who declare a secular state. Such a mentality is a way of compromising religious and irreligious systems. But because of this, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. Thus, the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish. We will all chant Mangaracharan. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Se Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and on behalf of all the organizers of this Bhakti Sangha group, I welcome all of you for our morning Bhagavatam class today. And a special welcome to Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji, who is back to give us her very inspiring and very wonderful association. Welcome back, Mataji, and welcome to all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So, Hare Krishna, Mataji. So, today is a very auspicious day. Today is the disappearance day of Raghunandan Thakur, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Sri Khanda. And today is also the disappearance day of Srila Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. So we will discuss about today's verse, and we will discuss a few pastimes of Raghunandan Thakur and Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj also in the next 40 to 50 minutes. Hare Krishna. Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all of you and offering obeisances at your lotus feet, I would like to make an attempt to begin. Hare Krishna. So, this pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam is very important, my dear friends. You see, Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days. And Sukhdev Goswami, he selected the most critical, the most vital, most important pastimes of Krishna. And he narrated them in this 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam in 7 days. So we must understand that everything that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam is essential and it is perfect. Even though Sukhdev Goswami might be just describing the genealogy of a particular dynasty, or he's just giving the names of different personalities, you may wonder why are so many verses, so many chapters being dedicated to just describing the different descendants of different personalities. Just names. And why are so many verses being dedicated to describing, for example, the beauty of Amravati, the place where Indradev lives, the beauty of the city of King Indra. Why, you know, so many things are there, the description of the Gandharvas, you know, or so many things are described in Bhagavatam. Why? It is because just by hearing those names, those descriptions, because it is coming from the lotus mouth of Sukhdev Goswami, because it is the Mahaprasad of Sukhdev Goswami, because it is the Mahaprasad of Suta Goswami, because it is the Mahaprasad of Maitreya Rishi, Narad Muni, who are the different speakers of different sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just because they are coming from the lotus mouth of our Acharya Varga, they are very purifying. That is the first consideration. Second consideration is, these different names, our Acharyas explain, just when we hear the different names of different personalities, different devotees who appeared in different dynasties, it is very purifying. Because they were all part of Krishna's Leela. They were all great devotees, most of them. And even if they were not pure devotees, but still they were part of Krishna's Leela. They were part of Krishna's plan. So hearing their names is very purifying. Just like on this Bhakti Sangha, if I start naming all of you, Lavanya Mataji, Vinaya Mataji, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Kaumadaki Mataji, Radhika Mataji, like if I start taking your names, it is so purifying. Because you are all devotees, you are all Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So just by reciting your names, speaking your names, hearing your names, I will become purified. Similarly, when we hear about all these dynasties, we hear about all these descriptions, it's all very purifying. Even if we are, like yesterday I was reading, Devi Parashara was reading the Sagar Manthan Leela from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I try to read one chapter of Bhagavatam every day. I have found this, I have printed out just the English translations of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Just the translations. So the intention is, as part of daily sadhana, reading one chapter of Bhagavatam every day. Because otherwise, if you read the verse, word-to-word synonyms, translation, purport, then it will take many, many years to finish Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we read one chapter a day, there are around 335 chapters in Bhagavatam. So if you read one chapter a day in 1 year, one can easily complete the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then Bhagavatam, like that. And side by side, separately, one must study Srila Prabhupada's purports also. So I'm trying to do that. So day before yesterday, I was reading the Sagar Manthan Leela, Samudra Manthan Leela. And there, when Bali Maharaj, he, by the blessings of Shukracharya, he becomes powerful again. And when he attacks the city of Indradev, there is such detailed description of the city of Indra, description of Swargalok, how the roads were, how the houses were planned, how the inhabitants were dressed, what was their qualification. Very, very detailed description. And a thought came in my mind, okay, come on, let's hear about Krishna. Why are we reading about all this description of Swarga, where we don't want to go? Even by mistake, we don't want to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy. But all this description, it is there to, because it is all part of Krishna Leela. Unless we hear this description, we will not understand what Swarga Lok is like. Then we will not be able to relate to what has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these descriptions of, genealogical descriptions of the different dynasties, with all the names, past and present and future, and all these various descriptions of the Trikuta mountain, where Gajendra was there, you know, such detailed descriptions of which animals lived, which flowers were blossoming on that Trikuta mountain, description of, you know, the city of Indra, Swargalok. It is there to give authentication to Srimad Bhagavatam, to make the whole picture complete. Everything should be there, properly described. Everything should be properly described, so it gives us an authentic picture of what's going on. Because Krishna Leela is to be seen through the ears. So unless there is detailed description, how will we know? How can we visualize? How can we enter that Leela? So all these descriptions are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are all part of Krishna Leela. They are very important. They give authenticity to Srimad Bhagavatam, that yes, it is very authentic. See, it even tells all the names of all the descendants. And because it is coming from the lotus mouth of our Acharya Gan, Shukdev Goswami, Suta Goswami, Maitreya Muni, Narad Muni, it is very purifying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard it, the other Pandit studied it, so it's very purifying. So we should, every verse, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very purifying, very, very important. We may realize it, or we may not realize it. It is very important. So just like when we take darshan of Krishna in the temple, here in Atlanta we have Radha Madan Mohan Jiu. Where I come from in Mumbai, there is Shri Lalita Vishakha Radha Gopina Mandir. So when we take darshan, we don't just look at the murti, the form of Krishna. We look at Krishna's dress, Krishna's garlands, Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's belt, Krishna's turban, Krishna's bracelet. We look at Krishna's flute. We look at the flowers that are offered. We look at the everything. We look at the backdrop on the altar. We look at Radharani, all this paraphernalia of Radharani, Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, Giridhari Gopal, Gaur Nitai, Janardhan Shaligram Shila, Radha Gopi Janavallab, our Sampradaya, all the Acharyas who are there on the altar, Shad Goswami Pad, Panchatattva, Narsimha Bhagwan, Prahlad Maharaj, Ananda Shesh Bhagwan, Tulsi Maharani. We take darshan of all these. There are monkeys, there are cows on the altar, there are peacocks, there are parrots, there are trees on the altar. We take darshan of all of them. Then we get the complete picture. Krishna and his paraphernalia. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam are not just Krishna Leela, but the different prayers in Bhagavatam. Indra Dev's prayer, Brahmaji's prayer, Gopi's prayers, Vritrasura's prayers, Gajendra's prayers, Uttara's prayers, Kunti Maharani's prayers, Bhishma Stuti. All these prayers are also the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, all the genealogical descriptions, all the descriptions of the different different planetary systems, different Manus, these are all important. They are all part of the beautiful darshan that Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us. Discussion of the hellish planets. Discussion of hellish planets. What is the need to hear the description of hellish planets? Yes, it is essential. It is essential. Once Gaur Govind Maharaj was asked, why in the fifth canto all these hellish planets are described? Why is the chapter in the fifth canto there which says, which is entitled Material World, the Forests of Enjoyment? Please read this chapter. This is my counselor, His Grace Krishnaram Prabhu. He once instructed me that you should read this chapter regularly. Because it gives, especially for grahasthas, we are all grahasthas, it is very, very important. Material world, the forest of enjoyment. Sukhdev Goswami speaks this. What a powerful chapter it is. Their husbands, wives, children, parents, in-laws, family, relatives, they are called as hyenas and jackals of the forest, who will come and steal everything. Very wicked, very cruel. So Gaur Govind Maharaj, Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj was asked, why in Srimad Bhagavatam the family members, the spouse, children, parents, they are called as jackals and hyenas who are going to steal away our food? Why they are called in such a, addressed in such a derogatory terminology? Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj, he replied, yes, the family members and everybody, Grahastha Ashram, it is criticized like this in Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is your Priya Bandhu, because Srimad Bhagavatam is your dear friend, Gaur Govind Maharaj says. Because Bhagavatam is your friend, it is telling you all these facts of life. We need to hear that. And Gaur Govind Maharaj also said that this description, where the family members are considered, are called as our enemies, these descriptions refer to the family members of Grihamegis, not Grihasthas, not devotees of Krishna. They refer to people who are materialistic. Their relatives and family members are like the hyenas and jackals and snakes and scorpions. That chapter is worth reading. Verse after verse, verse after verse, verse after verse. It's almost, for a conditioned soul like me, it's almost tiring. It just doesn't end. All the verses appear to be similar. Please read this chapter. Material World, the Forest of Enjoyment. It gives such a description of what Grihamedhi life is, what materialistic life is in this world. We must hear this description. We must hear positives and negatives. Positives to increase our attachment. And we should hear the negativity of this material world so that we develop detachment. Both are required. Just hearing, oh, you are not this body, you are the soul, dukkhalaya mashashvatam, anityam asukham lokam, you will go to hell, eternal damnation, there is no happiness in this world, relatives are scorpions and snakes and hyenas and jackals. If you only hear about these negative things, the description of the different hellish planets, if we hear just the negative things, then it doesn't give us the complete wholesome nourishment, because it only makes us detached and frustrated in this material world. Frustrated in our attempts to become happy through materialistic sense gratification in this material world. But then, in addition to detachment, there has to be attachment also. Param drishtva nivartate. We have to have a higher taste also. For that, we have to hear the Damodar Leela. For that, we have to hear the Gopi Geet. For that, we have to hear different sweet pastimes of Krishna. For that, we have to read the Krishna book. So everything is required. We need to hear positives so that we become attached to Krishna. And we have to hear the negative things about this world also so that we become detached. I remember I was attending one Prerana lecture of Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It was long back. I think it was 2001 or 2002. Maharaj was saying, Prerana had just started. And, or maybe it was 2003. It is called The Power of Love. It is one of my favorite Prerana lectures. It's a two-hour lecture worth hearing again and again. I have heard that lecture so many times. Maharaj starts with Bible, descriptions from the Bible, from the Quran, from the current events. He talks about lust, basically. He talks about what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has to say about lust. And then he builds up to what pure love is. What pure love is. And so in that that lecture, the Prerana lecture called The Power of Love, he says that, I'm forgetting why I was talking about this lecture. I'm forgetting. But yes, we have to develop attachment to Krishna. We have to develop attachment to Krishna. So we have to hear the positive things also. We have to hear about Krishna's beauty. Then we will get attached to Krishna and we'll get detached from this material world. So all these descriptions are there in Srimad Bhagavatam and they are all perfect, they are all complete, they are all essential. Like that. So, so here, we are reading in today's verse that Prithu Maharaj, who is a great devotee, who is in the role of a great devotee, although he is an incarnation of Krishna, and Indradev, who is also empowered representative of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, among the devatas, I am Indra. Because Indra is the king of the demigods. So that power, that fame, that it represents the power and fame of Krishna. Because Krishna is all famous, all powerful. Kulashekhar Maharaj says in Mukunda Mala Sutra, Jayatu Jayatu Devo Devaki Nandanoyam Jayatu Jayatu Krishna Vrishnivamsha Pradipa Jayatu Jayatu Megha Shamala Komalango Jayatu Jayatu Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda Jayatu Jayatu Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Nandanoyam Devaki Janmavado Yaduvara Parishatvair Dorbhirasyan Adharmam Sthiracharam Vrijinagna Susmita Shri Mukhena Rajapura Vanitanam Vardhayanta Madevam Jayati Janani Vaso Jayatu Jayatu Devo Jayati Te Bikam Janmana Vraja. Krishna is all famous, all powerful, all victorious. Indra is also famous and victorious. But that strength is coming from Krishna. So Krishna has invested his strength in Indra. And therefore, he is able to do what he is able to do. So, Indra is also very powerful and Prithu Maharaj is also very powerful. Both are dear to Krishna, both are empowered by Krishna, both are representative of Krishna. And Prithu Maharaj is wanting to kill Indra. Just see. One devotee, one empowered devotee wants to kill another empowered devotee. Why? Because Indradev did something horrible. He introduced irregular orders of sannyas. He tried to create several impediments in the performance of the Ashwamedh Yajna, which was meant for the spiritual benefit of the entire world. So that is not good. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any irreligious systems. It is the duty. And similarly, Gaur Govind Maharaj says that the guru and the sannyasis, they are called Maharaj. भक्ति चरु महाराज, जय पताका स्वामी महाराज. सो ऑल दीज निरंजन स्वामी महाराज, एवरीवन इज कॉल्ड, ऑल द सन्यासी दे आर कॉल्ड महाराज बिकॉज दे आर किंग्स, बट दे आर नॉट ऑर्डिनरी किंग्स हु रूल ओवर farmlands and forests and cities, who deal with paisa and rupees and dollars and cents. No, not that type of king. Far greater king. The sannyasi, the spiritual master, the gurugan, they are kings who possess the wealth, not of gold and palaces, but who possess the wealth of Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Prem. And they live not in the palace of this material world, but they live in the beautiful beautiful kingdom of Golok Vrindavan. That is where their roots are. They have descended here, but their meditation, their home is Vraja. Like Srila Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is my home. Like that. So that type of Maharaj, spiritual kings. So just like a mundane king should not tolerate any irreligious activities in the kingdom, a spiritual warrior, and actually we are all spiritual warriors in our own right, in our own little micro worlds, we should not tolerate any deviation, spiritual deviation, any deviation in the tattva. We should not tolerate. And Prabhupada mentions about secular government. What is the meaning of secular? In social studies, we have learned this in school. Secular means they are not against any religion and they are not supportive of any religion. They are neutral. So people can choose Hinduism, they can choose Islam, they can choose Christianity, they can choose Judaism, they can choose to be atheists, they can choose to be agnostics, but everybody will have equal rights, everybody will have equal weightage, everybody's point of view will be equally respected and equally valued. We will not teach any religion in the schools, we will not enforce any religion, we will only enforce the constitution, which is written by human beings with four kinds of defects. We have a tendency to cheat, we have imperfect senses, we are illusioned, and we lie. So this type of defects are there in all of us. Such fallible people have written fallible constitution, and that is the Bible, that is the Bhagavad Gita, that is the Quran for the society. How can such society be happy? The government is not supporting any religion and the government is not opposing. Government is neutral. The vote, when you cast a vote in elections, the vote of a sannyasi who is a pure devotee carries the same weight as the vote of a criminal who is voting from the jail. Same vote of a person who is atheist. Same weightage to the vote of a person who is agnostic. It may sound very standardized, very homogenized, very neutral, very non-discriminatory, blah, blah, blah. But according to Krishna, it is not right. It is not the right thing. Because when Krishna was in Dwarka, he would take counsel, he would take guidance from people like Uddhav, like Narad Muni. Not from some drunkard or a sex monger, or some person who is addicted to gambling or meat eater from the road, who has no qualification, whose senses are not controlled. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jivha vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegan, yo vishaye etadhira, sarvam apimam, prithvim sa shishyat. If you want to rule over the earth, the prithvi, then the senses have to be controlled. The senses have to be used in the service of Krishna. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. We just heard that Krishna is Jayatu Jayatu Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda. Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda. That Mukunda, he reduces the burden of the earth, the burden of atheists, the burden of all the sinful people. He relieves earth, Mother Earth, of that burden of liars and sinners. Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda. Jayatu Jayatu. So Prithivimsa Shishyat, if you want to rule over the entire earth, you want to make disciples all over the earth, all over Prithvi, then the senses have to be controlled. It's very important for all of us. And because Indra's senses were not controlled, Prithu Maharaj was willing to punish him to the extent of capital punishment. He wanted to kill him. So sometimes even among devotees, there can be serious disagreement, serious fights. They are undesirable, but when devotees are not pure, or when devotees are not following the instructions of the pure devotees, then there can be a lot of envy, a lot of fighting. Thus the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish, Srila Prabhupada says. Yes, we can see that. We can see that. You know, my son Gopal, he's a sophomore in high school now. He's in 10th grade. Daughter is in 2nd grade, Maithili. There's so much anxiety. You know, when I hear about devotees homeschooling, if it is done nicely, it's very nice. But unfortunately, me and my good wife, Radha Bhav, we are both working, both doctors. And the price we have to pay is that, you know, we are not able to homeschool our children. And then once they start going to the schools, which are spiritual slaughterhouses, then it's very difficult to get them out of there and keep them happy with homeschooling. It's very challenging. But it is very heartening to see how many devotees are taking interest in homeschooling, how many spiritual masters are encouraging their disciples to homeschool. Arudha Mataji is conducting so many seminars, and so many devotees are there. Now there are seminars and conferences, and curriculums, courses to train parents to homeschool their children. Why? Because to protect them from this negative energy that is there in the schools. We have tried both private school, public school for our children. It doesn't work. It's the same thing. Same problems. Same negative energy in this Kali Yuga. It's hellish, like Prabhupada is describing. It is hellish. And then you go to Alachua and there is a devotee school, and the kids, they chant Shikshashtakam, they attend Bhagavatam class, and they all observe Ekadashi, they chant Hare Krishna. It's much better. Much better. So these things are going on in society, and we have to try our best to counteract. Just like Prithu Maharaj is taking up his bow and arrow to fight against Adharma. Krishna is there to help us. Dorbhirasyan adharmam. Krishna with his two hands destroys adharma. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janma vado yaduvara parishat swair dorbhirasyan adharmam. Swair dorbhirasyan adharmam. Krishna with his two hands, he destroys adharma. So we have to take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of Krishna's pure devotees, and we have to fight. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mai arpita mano budhir mameva shishya samshaya. We have to fight. Take shelter of Krishna. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi. By Krishna's blessings, by Krishna's prasad, tarishyasi. Sarva durgani. All the obstacles that are there in this material world, we will be able to eventually cross over them by Krishna's grace. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti yoeka mahan gona kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajat. We have hope, but we have to follow the process nicely. And today is the disappearance day of Raghunandan Thakur. There's so much to learn from Raghunandan Thakur. Such an innocent, simple little boy. He was just given Upanayan Samskar by his father, Mukunda, who was a pure devotee of Krishna, and his uncle, Narahari Sarkar. So Narahari Sarkar and Mukunda Prabhu, they gave him the Brahmin thread, gave him the mantra, Brahman Diksha, Upanayam Samskar, and they were just teaching him the basics of deity worship. How to make garlands for Gopinath, how to offer bhoga, how to wash his the cloth used in serving Gopinath. Basic, like introduction to deity worship. Introduction to deity worship was being taught to little Raghunandan. He was a small boy, 5 or 6 years old. He was being taught the basics of deity worship. And Mukunda would offer bhoga to Gopinath every day. And Mukunda's wife, means Raghunandan's mother, would cook. And Raghunandan would assist. And Narahari Sarkar would preach. What a wonderful family. And they were living happily in Shrikhanda, in the Navadvip Mandal. And one day, just when Mukunda was about to do the offering of bhoga to their family deity of Krishna called Gopinath, he got a message. He got a call from the ER. He got a message from the king that the king wanted to see him. Now, Mukunda was a doctor and he was on call 24/7 for the king. He was a royal physician. Physician to the king of Bengal. So he got a message that the king wanted to see him. He was having some health issues. So Mukunda, being the physician on call, had to rush. So he immediately had to leave and he could not make his offering to Gopinath. So he didn't take a shortcut. How sometimes we do shortcut. Okay, today I'll not chant the mantras 3 times, I'll just chant them once. Just once. Krishna will eat. Just once. Namo Vishnu Padaya, once. Namo Brahma Devaya, once. Namo Mahavadanyaya. Just one. Prabhupada mantra, Gaura mantra, Krishna mantra. And then let me rush out. Krishna will understand. Or remaining mantras I will chant on the way to the hospital, on the way to the king. And Mukunda did not believe in shortcuts. There are no shortcuts, my dear friends, in spiritual life. Because the path of Krishna consciousness is so beautiful. Kevala ananda kanda. Susukham kartum avyayam. Why should we leave this beautiful highway of Krishna consciousness and try to take some internal road thinking that it's a shortcut? No. Why should we leave this road and take a shortcut? On this road, we find our Guru Maharaj. On this road, we find our dear devotee friends of Bhakti Sangha group. On this road of Krishna consciousness, we find Prabhupada. On this road of Krishna consciousness, we find all the disciples of Prabhupada. We find Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We find Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. We find Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the 7th Goswami. We find the 6th Goswamis. We find Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. We find Raghunandan Thakur. So on this beautiful road of Krishna consciousness, we have all these acharyas. Why leave it and take another road thinking it's a shortcut? Not good. There are no shortcuts. This is it. This is the path that we have to follow. We have to follow nicely. 3 times Prabhupada said, 3 times. We'll chant the mantras. We'll pray to Krishna with love. Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayashyati. Okay, with bhakti, we will offer him. With devotion, with love, we will invoke whatever love and devotion is there in our heart and offer Krishna. My spiritual master, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, do small things with great love. See the opposites in this sentence. Small and great, they are opposites. So it may be a small thing. Radha Bhava must have made just few hot chapatis, put ghee and jaggery on it and a tulsi leaf and tells me, Adhiraja Prabhu, offer it. A small thing. I can take a look at it as a mundane task that I do every day. Or I can think, oh, here is a Vaishnavi. She is coming in the line of Srila Prabhupada. And she has cooked for Krishna and Guru Maharaj. And she is giving me the bhoga plate to offer. What a wonderful service she is giving me. This is what Mukunda's wife used to do in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. Oh, this is Gaur Leela. She is giving me a chance to participate in Gaur Leela by giving me this plate. And the Goswamis would do Madhukari and they would just eat some Vraja roti. And she has made this roti. Wow. With ghee and jaggery. And I have to feed Giriraj. I have to feed Shaligram Shila. I have to feed Dwarka Shila. I have to feed Narsingha Dev. I have to feed Gaur Nitai. I have to feed Jagannath, who loves to eat. I have to feed Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra. Sudarshan Chakra is there. Gopalji is there. Ananta Shesh is there over Narsingha Bhagwan. Wow. All the Prahlad Maharaj is there. Prabhupada is there. Guru Maharaj is there. All the Parampara is there. Silk Goswamis are there. Panchatattva are there. And I am getting a chance to do what the pure devotees are doing. What Raghunandan did. What Mukunda used to do. It is said that if we want to go to Vrindavan, we have to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. And here, my wife is giving me the opportunity to offer this bhoga to Krishna, to feed him. There are so many pastimes of devotees feeding Krishna. You can think about this pastime of Raghunandan. There is Khir Chor Gopinath. There are so many pastimes. And I am getting a chance to participate in this. So this small, apparently small chore of offering bhoga, which can be taken as something so simple, so mundane. Anybody, Gopal, offer it. I am chanting my rounds. Or Gopal, I am doing some hospital work. Offer it. Or why don't you offer? You have cooked. You offer quickly. It takes 2 minutes. Either I can have that attitude. Or, you know what? Even Maithili has memorized those mantras. Maithili just say. Even if you don't know mantra, just say Hare Krishna 3 times. Krishna will eat. Offer, beta. Go, go. Let me do. What I am doing is very important. Either I can have that attitude. Or I can think of Raghunandan. I can think of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. How Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj used to offer, that we will hear in few minutes. And I can take that plate and offer it with great love, chanting the 3 mantras, and then invoking whatever little bit love and devotion is there in this unworthy heart, and then praying to Krishna genuinely. Krishna, please, please eat, please eat. I remember, my dear friends, few days ago, Mukunda Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada from Vrindavan, he was staying with us for almost 8 days. It was the most blissful period. His Pranathan is his Gopal. Gopal deity, very beautiful deity that he has been serving since 1980s or late 1970s. His Pranathan, very beautiful, small little golden deity of Gopal. It's as if he is Gaur Gopal, because he is Gaur, he is golden. Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi. He's like molten gold, but he's Gopal. Gaur Gopal. So his Gopalji, he likes to feed milk and cookie at night. Warm milk, hot milk, not warm. Hot milk and cookie to his Gopalji at night. So Radhava made some cookies. I think she made them from, no sugar, just jaggery, oats, almonds, like that. So she made with ghee, nice cookies and fresh hot cookies from the oven and hot milk with some jaggery in it. And she gave me that Prabhuji wanted to offer. Prabhuji wanted his Gopal to have warm milk and a cookie before he goes to bed. So here, offer it. And then I saw that Prabhuji also was there. So I thought, let me ask him to offer. Because he had a desire that Gopal should drink hot milk and eat a cookie before he takes rest. So it was Prabhuji's desire, so let Prabhuji offer. So I asked Prabhuji, Prabhuji, would you like to offer? He, enthusiastically, he got up from the sofa. He said, yes, yes, I will offer. And he took the plate. He did achaman. He took the plate from my hand. He went. He placed the offering. And for half an hour, he was standing and feeding Gopal. With such love. Such love. I was so impressed. I was so touched. I was so moved that this small activity of offering bhoga to Krishna, you know, one can just say, quickly we can chant the mantras and say, okay, come on now, eat and go to sleep and let me also sleep. Because we had just come from a program and he was tired, he had just taken his shower and he came out and he was chanting some prayers. And I asked him, would you like to offer? And immediately, enthusiastically took it. And for half an hour, he was feeding. He was just standing there. And initially, I thought that he is just standing there taking darshan. So I had a question. I approached him to ask a question about the next day morning's program. And suddenly, I realized that he's actually chanting some mantras. And he's, you know, feeding Gopal. And he was standing there feeding him. So do small things with great love. Small things with big love. This is Krishna consciousness. If we do that, then we will make rapid progress in Krishna consciousness. What time is it? It is 8:20. Hey Krishna. We will not be able to go to Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. But I want to talk about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So Raghunandan's story, you all know. How he fed, how he got that service, and how he did it. It's sort of sweet, humorous also, funny also, pastime. But you can read it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we don't get a chance to talk about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So as unorganized as I am, I will just leave this here. Even what I was describing about Bhagavatam initially, I forgot my... lost my chain of thought and I went to Raghunandan Thakur. Now Raghunandan Thakur also I am leaving like this, very sorry, and let's go to Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, and for the next 10 or 20 minutes let's hear about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. I think this is what will make Raghunandan Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happy, so we'll do that. So Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, not much is known about him in ISKCON, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. But just few things I will share about him. There were three Avadhuts, three Babajis in our Sampradaya in the recent past who were Paramhamsas. They were Bhajanalandi Paramhamsas. They were not so much into preaching, but they preached in their own way. Through their example and by empowering the Goshtanandis, by empowering the preachers, they served in that way. These three Babajis are Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Avirbhava Bhumestvam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya. He showed the Avirbhava place of Gaur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Gaur Avirbhava. We celebrate Avirbhav Tithi and Tirobhav Tithi. Avirbhav is appearance day and Tirobhav Tithi is disappearance day. Today is the Tirobhav Tithi of Raghunandan Thakur and Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was one. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj was second. Namaste Gaur Kishoraya. Sakshad Vairagya Murtaya. Vipra Lambha Rasam Bodhe Padam Buchaya Tinamah. So these two great Babajis we know. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Both very intimately connected with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now, intimately connected with Bhakti Vinod Thakur's son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, is Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was the youngest of these three Babajis. Not much is known about his family, but he came from a village called Majidpur in Bangladesh, East Bengal. And his father's name was Sanatan. And he was married at an early age. He had a son also. But when his son was around 9 years old, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj gave up everything, renounced his family, and came to Navadvip. From Bangladesh, he came to Sri Navadvip Dham. He accepted the besh of a Babaji, Avadhut, and he started living on the banks of Ganga as a recluse, all alone. His meditation was the peepal tree. Anytime he would see a peepal tree, he would get reminded of Vamshivat of Vrindavan. Oh, this is the Vamshivat tree under which Krishna played his flute. And he would embrace that tree. He would sit under the tree and start chanting his japa. He would start singing different Bengali bhajans. He was especially fond of Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans. He would sing them. And he would not move from under the tree for several days. Just sit there in absorption. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj had six small deities that he would carry with him everywhere. The first deity was Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Second deity was Nityananda Prabhu. Third deity was Gadadhar Pandit, incarnation of Srimati Radharani, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gaur Gadadhar and Nitai, three deities. Fourth deity was Krishna, threefold bending form of Krishna, playing his flute. Vamshidhari Gopal. And the sixth deity was Gopal, Gopalji. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar, Pandit, Radharani, Krishna and Gopalji. These six small deities he had, metal deities. And he had two pots to cook for them. A plate, a little bowl, spoon, conch shell, panchapatra to offer offerings, ghee lamp, and achaman cup, and like that, just very few belongings, paraphernalia. And they were all like random people had donated, and then sometimes people would come and steal from him. So it was come and go, nothing fixed. But he had some brass pots to cook. So let us discuss the schedule of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj used to live in Navadvip Dham on the bank of Ganga with his six deities. My dear friends, please listen attentively to this boring person. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj's focus was three activities. Rupa Goswami mentions five activities which are very powerful in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is Harinam, Vaishnava Sangha, Dhamvas, Shri Vigraha Seva, and Srimad Bhagavatam Seva, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. These five activities are very powerful activities and they give Krishna Prem very quickly. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj did all, but his focus out of these five was three activities. One is Dhamvas, living in Mayapur. Second is deity worship, worshipping his six deities. And third is Harinam. There is no count of how much Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj would chant. He would not chant on a mala. He would chant 24 hours a day. He would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nobody ever saw Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj take rest. He never slept. So therefore, we should not imitate Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Because we cannot imitate the fact that he never slept. We cannot imitate his activity of not chanting a fixed number of rounds on the Japamala. He chanted 24 hours a day. And in between Hare Krishna Mahamantra, suddenly he would burst into a Bengali bhajan written by Narottam Das Thakur. He also sang bhajans written by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Like that. He would wake up very early in the morning. He would go to Ganga and he would take Ganga Snan. Then early in the morning, he would go and pluck different fragrant flowers growing on the banks of Ganga, growing in the different gardens of Navadvip. He would pluck flowers and bring them for his six deities. And he would keep the flowers. near the deities. He would not offer them yet. And he lived into a, in a small cottage on the banks of Ganga, which some well-wishers had, some people had built for him. He would keep the flowers. Then, now the sun has risen. Then, while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and different Bengali bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, he would go into the city of Navadvip, door to door, doing madhukari, asking for bhiksha. And he would bring some rice, some vegetables and some fruits. Then by noon, after giving his association, his blessings, his madhurvani, his darshan to all the Navadvip vasis and purifying, tirthan kurvanti tirthani, after purifying, he would come back with the bhiksha that he got. And then he would sit on the bank of Ganga. Individually, he would take each and every vegetable and wash it multiple times in the flowing nectarian water of Ganga. Then he would take the fruits. Each and every fruit he would wash individually. Multiple times, not once, not twice, multiple times. Make it very clean. He's a avadhut, he's a babaji. But just see, with what loving care he would feed his Gaur Gadadhar, Nitai, Radha Krishna and Gopal. And then he would take rice and he would examine each and every grain of rice and he would wash it. And if some grain of rice still had the husk on it, he would remove the husk and he would wash the rice. And then he would make a fire and in one of his pots, he would make some, cook the rice, cook some vegetable and whatever little salt he had, he would put in it. He would make nice bhoga, cut some fruits. And he would offer it to his deities every day. Now people who would observe him, they tell that, so in 1906, he came to Navadvip, Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. Now we are in the 1920s, 1930s, okay? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had appointed one devotee, one disciple, to deliver some bhoga to Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj every day when he would go on Madhukari. Just to make sure that Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj had the paraphernalia required for his simple Shri Vigraha Seva. So now by the time Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj has cooked, the devotees tell us, it would be evening. Now just see, he started in the morning with plucking flowers, getting fruits, vegetables and rice. Then loving care he has cleaned it. Now he has cooked it with great love. And now he is going to lovingly offer. He would be playing the bell and with great love for hours and hours, he would feed his deities. All the time chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, talking to his deities, laughing, smiling and feeding them, considering them to be boys. He would call them boys, these boys. You know, Gaur, Galadhar, Nitai, they are my boys. And he would feed them. Evening. Now it's already evening time. Before feeding them, the flowers that he has collected, he would make a garland. He would make garlands of those flowers, and he would make six garlands for his six deities, offer them, and then he would feed them in the evening. And then entire evening and entire night, he would sit in front of them and do bhajan. He would chant. He would sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He would sing bhajans of our acharyas, and he would talk to them, talk to his deities. And then morning, Brahmamurtu, again he would get up and go plucking flowers for them. Day after day, night after night, this was the schedule of Jagannathas Babaji, of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. Now when he would go for Madhukari, the brass pots and his deities, they were all alone in that hut, in that kutir. Some petty thieves would come and steal. So some well-wishers, they gifted him a clock. They bought a clock from Calcutta and they gifted him. It had three sets of keys, three keys for that one lock. But Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, being an avadhut, would not even bother to lock his kutir. He would give the keys, one key to Gaura, one key to Gadadhar, and the third key to Nitai. And he would tell them, you three boys, this is your kutir. This is not mine. Nothing is mine. I am just your servant. This is your kutir. This is your lock. These are the three keys. I have given you the keys. Now I am anxiety free. Now it is your job to lock it, your job to look after your own safety when I go begging for you. So he would go begging, and one day a devotee came and gifted him a golden necklace, a necklace made of pure gold for his duties. So Vamsi Das Rajmar accepted that golden necklace and he put it around the neck of Gauranga. He offered that necklace to Gaura. And the news spread that someone has gifted a golden necklace to Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. Next day when he went for Madhukari in the morning, somebody came into his house in his kutir and stole that necklace of Gaura. When Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj came back at noon, he saw that the golden necklace is missing. So Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj became very angry with Gauranga. What kind of a boy are you? You cannot even look after your own necklace. Just yesterday you got it as a gift. You are such a careless and restless boy. All the time going here, going there with Gadadhar and Nitai. And you are not even careful about the things that I give you. Now you have lost your necklace. Now tell me, who did you give it to? And Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj had this very sweet bhav that whenever something would be stolen from his kutir, he would chastise his deities. And he would tell them that you are so biased towards the Navadvipvasis that you keep giving them all your things because they are your own people. As far as I am concerned, I am from Majidpur in Bangladesh. I am not a Navadvipvasi. But you are letting all these Navadvipvasis come here when I am not there and you give them all your belongings because you are very biased towards the Navadvipvasis. But what about me? If you give away your brass pots, if you give away your plate, how will I cook for you? How will I feed you? Why do you do this? So now when the golden necklace was stolen, Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj started chastising his Gauranga. And he said, you gave it to some Navadvipvasi. This is not good. I had just given it to you yesterday. You cannot do this. Tell me, who did you give it to? And for 2 hours, and the crowd of people gathered around his hut, for 2 hours, Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj was chastising Gauranga Mahaprabhu and asking him, Tell me, who did you give it to? Who did you give it to? Who is it? Tell me. I'm going to go right now and get that necklace back. Who did you give it to? Finally, after 2 hours of interrogation, just like police interrogates criminals, Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj interrogated his Gauranga. After 2 hours of intense interrogation and intense pressure and intense questioning, Gauranga Mahaprabhu revealed the name of the thief who had come and stolen the necklace from him. Can you imagine the love of Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj? Aham bhakta paradhinam. He asvatantra evadvija. Sadhuvir grastar idayo bhaktayar bhakta janapriya. Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj immediately got up and went to that thief's house and told him, I know you have taken the golden necklace from my Gauranga. Give it back. I have come to take it back from you. Now this thief was a rascal. He was a rogue. He was very aggressive, physically violent. He became angry at Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj that he had caught him and he had come to expose him. So let alone giving back the golden necklace, he physically assaulted poor Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. He pushed him hard. And old and frail Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj, who would only wear a little kopin, just underwear. Some Navadvipvasi had thrown a piece of cloth. He tore it properly and he used to use it as a kopin. That's all he would wear. He had a kanti around his neck and a kopin around his private parts. That's all. Old, thin, frail Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. And this thief violently shoved and pushed and threw him on the ground. And Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj fell and got hurt and started bleeding, and very broken hearted he came back to his kutir. But as a result of this ghor Vaishnava aparad, that thief, who was a resident of Navadvip Dham, a Dhamvasi, that thief immediately died in an accident. And not only that thief, but the and his entire family for whom he was stealing, his entire family who he was maintaining, his entire family contracted some infectious disease. In those days there was no cure, and one after the other, his entire family, everybody who lived in that household, the house in which Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj was attacked, all the family members who lived in that household, they died very soon after this incident. This is the danger of being envious towards a Vaishnava and committing Vaishnava aparad. We are seeing how Indradev is going to be punished now by Prithu Maharaj, about to be punished by Prithu Maharaj. Reaction will come if we commit aparad. So then Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, he one day, what happened was, one day what happened, somebody came and stole both the pots, the brass pots that Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj had, which he used for deity worship, for serving his deities. And when Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj came, he saw that the pots are gone, somebody has stolen. He started chastising his Gaur Nikaya. Said, you cannot take care of your things. Again, you gave away your property to some Navadvip Vasis. You are so partial towards them. But now how will I serve you? How will I cook for you? All right. Because you have done this, there will be no bhoga. I am not going to cook for you. Let all these vegetables and fruits that I have collected for you in Madhukari, let them sit here and rot. And I will sit here and watch. I will not cook anything for you, and nobody will feed you anything. You will not get anything today because you have given away both your pots. And he started chastising Gaur Nikaya. Now hearing the chastisement, Nityananda Prabhu got very scared. And he immediately, as a Paramatma in the heart of the thief, so two thieves had come and they had stolen the pots. And they had split the booty. Booty or bounty, whatever it is called. They split their loot. So one thief had one pot, other thief had one pot. So the and one pot belonged to Nityananda Prabhu, one brass pot belonged to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu got scared. As a Paramatma, immediately he inspired that thief who had his pot. The smaller pot was Nitai's pot and the larger pot was Gaura's pot. So Nityananda inspired that thief who had the smaller pot to come and return it immediately. So inspired by Nityananda Prabhu, that thief came and gave that pot back to Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. So Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj looked at the pot and he said, okay, this is a smaller pot. This is Nitai's pot. Nitai, good boy. You will get food. And immediately started cooking and cooked only for Nityananda. And he fed Nitai. And Nityananda Prabhu was eating happily. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking with, you know, sidelong, forlorn eyes, very sadly. He was looking at Nitai. Then he was looking at Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. Then he was looking at Nitai, happily eating the bhoga, looking at Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu had no choice. He also inspired the other thief to come and return his pot to Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. So immediately, now it is late at night, immediately the second thief came, he put that pot and ran away. Then Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj saw that second pot and he said, okay, Gaura, now you will also get food. And then immediately at night, Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj started cooking. See, he was beyond rules and regulations. For him, it was not like the offering has to be done at a certain time, certain number of offerings have to be done, certain number of aartis have to be done, nothing. Avadhut, we cannot imitate, but we can worship them on the altar of our heart. We can get inspiration from them. So at night, Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj started cooking for Gaura. And then with his own loving hands, he started feeding Gaura. And when he was feeding, tears of love were rolling down Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj's eyes. And he told Gaura, my dear Gaura, why do you do this to me? I am an old man now. Why do you trouble me like this? Do you think I like to scold you? Do you think I like to keep you hungry? No. I want to serve you. I want to feed you. But if you do like this, then it creates impediments in my service to you. So don't do like this next time, okay? You be a good boy now. Like that. So then one day, Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj had gone for Madhukari, and someone came and stole the flowers and other items from the house that he had collected in the morning at winter. So when Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj came, he saw again the paraphernalia has been stolen. Again he became angry with his Gaur Nitai. You cannot take care. What kind of irresponsible boys are you? You are busy with your own things and you don't look after your own property. Now, I am going to punish you. And he picked up his deities, tied them with a cloth, all six of them, and believe it or not, he went to the banks of Ganga and he threw his six deities into Ganga. And then all six deities were tied with a cloth, long cloth, piece of rope. And he kept the one end of the rope under his right foot. And with his hands on his waist, he stood there on the banks of Ganga. And anybody who would come and they would say, Babaji, Babaji, what are you doing? You have thrown your deities. You have thrown Krishna in the Ganga. Don't do this. Let me bring them out. He would still throw stones at them. Go away. Don't disturb me. They need to be punished. They are being very naughty. They need to be punished. And he stood there like that. Now this news reached Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that this is what Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj is doing. So immediately Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told all his disciples in the Gaudiya Math that do not go near Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj and do not associate with him, do not even look at him. Now, having received these instructions, all the devotees, they started keeping their distance from Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj. Otherwise, every day they would go offer obeisances from a distance, give few fruits or vegetables and leave. But now they all started keeping a distance from Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj. A few days went by. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being a very great Acharya, a perfectly self-realized Mahabhagwat, he understood what his disciples are thinking. The disciples started thinking and rumors were going around in the mart that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has forbidden us from taking darshan and associating with Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj because Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj is an aparadhi. He has fallen down and he is in Maya because he has put his six deities into Ganga and he is mistreating them like this. Now, Narad Pancharatra or Archana Paddhati or Hari Bhakti Vilas, they never mentioned that we should treat our deities like this. But we have to understand that this is an exceptional case because Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj is an avadhut. They don't follow the rules and regulation of Varanashram. But when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to know that such rumors are being spread, he called for all his disciples in the mat and he declared in front of them that, my dear disciples, please do not think that I have forbidden you from associating with Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj because he is in Maya or because he has fallen down or because he is an offender. The reason I have ordered all of you to keep away from Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj, not to look at him and not to associate with him, is because you are all very, very neophyte. You are not mature enough to understand the bhav. You are not neophytes, but what I mean to say is, you are not qualified enough. Sorry, I take that back. Not neophytes, but you are not qualified. You are not mature enough to understand the bhav of Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj. In what bhav he is punishing Gaur Nitai, Gaur Gadadhar. What is his bhav of worship of Radha Krishna, Gopalji? That you will not be able to understand. And you will misunderstand him. And therefore you will criticize him, commit offenses, and then you will fall down from your spiritual position. to prevent you from committing Vaishnava Aparad, from judging Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, and to protect your spiritual life, I, as your well-wishing spiritual father, instructed all of you not to associate with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, because you are not well developed. As far as I am concerned, from here, every day, mentally, I am offering my obeisances to Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, because I know he is a Mahabhagwat, he is a Paramhamsa, Avadhuta. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, as sadhakas, we have to practice sadhana bhakti. As conditioned souls, we have to follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti. But when we see a very advanced devotee like Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, and we try to measure him with the yardstick of the rules and regulations that have been applied to us, then we will misunderstand, we will misjudge the great souls. Because these rules and regulations don't apply to them. These rules and regulations don't apply to them. So therefore, don't try to judge Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj like this. This is a very valuable lesson for us also. Because there have been such devotees in our sampradaya, and we should not judge them. One such example is Ayendra Prabhu, Shripada Ayendra Prabhu. He was also somewhat of an avadhut. Who can worship 3,000 Shaligram Shilas in one room? Who can chant 116 rounds every day? Who can do Harinam Sankirtan like he did? He created his own 300 melodies of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They are all his invention. So many melodies. B.B. Govind Maharaj, Shri Prahlad Prabhu, Madhav Prabhu, all these great kirtaniyas of today. So many of their tunes, Loknath Maharaj, so many tunes that they sing, they are all coming from Ayendra Prabhu. He composed them. He created those tunes as his personal offering to Radha Shyam Sundar, to Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitya Srila Prabhupada. But he was avadhut in his own way. Devotees have seen him shopping for his deities at 1 o'clock at night, or cooking at 2 o'clock at night for them. In fact, every day he would regularly cook at 2 o'clock for them. That is the time when the deities are supposed to sleep, according to Vaidhi Bhakti. But Ayendra Prabhu was on a different level. Therefore, Ayendra Prabhu's lectures also, one must read Prabhupada's books thoroughly before trying to understand Ayendra Prabhu's lectures. They are very deep. They are very deep and very high, both high and deep. We should not judge these great devotees. It takes some spiritual realization, some spiritual maturity to understand their level of advancement, how exalted they are. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj also went to Vrindavan for Parikrama. And he followed the route that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited all the places that Mahaprabhu had visited. He went to Katwa first. From Katwa, then he went all the way north to Gaya. He went to Ayodhya. He went to Mathura. And then, he came to Vrindavan. And there he went to the original Vamshivat tree. And for 8 days and 8 nights, without even a restroom break, he chanted and sang and danced and cried and embraced that Vamshivat tree. I told you he was very attached to Vamshivat. That was his innermost meditation, where Krishna played his flute and invited all the gopis for Rasleela. Vamshivat. So, then he visited Radharaman. He visited Radha Govinda Dev. He visited Radha Madan Mohan. Can you imagine the ecstasy that this Navadvip Dham Vasi, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, must have felt when in the 1940s he visited Vrindavan Dham. He walked, he took ox carts, he took some trains. He traveled with great difficulty from Navadvip to Vrindavan. Stayed there for 3 months. And he would visit all these temples. When he would go in front of Radharaman, for example, he would be muttering to the deity. He would be conversing with the deity. Then he would smile when the deity would reciprocate. He would laugh. He would sing for the deity. He had such a personal relationship with Krishna. So this we can take inspiration from. And as far as we are concerned, we get punished sometimes when we make mistakes, right? Like Indradev, he's been punished by Prithu Maharaj because he made a mistake. He's been punished by Krishna. This, my dear friends, is very good. Every day when we before our start, our morning japa, our 16 rounds, we pray that Krishna, please purify me. This prayer for Cheto Darpana Marjanam, this prayer for purification, because only when we are purified, we will get Krishna prema. Kesha Antagata Papa. So, first we have to become purified. Only then we can get Krishna prema. So, when we pray for purification, if we pray every day, regularly, sincerely for purification, Krishna will definitely purify us. And that purification happens by being chastised, by realizing our mistakes, sometimes by being humiliated, being exposed, which may be seen as a downfall, it may be seen as a fall down, it may be seen as embarrassment, it may be seen as punishment. But actually, it is Krishna's mercy because we prayed for purification, he's purifying us. Purification, nobody said purification is going to be fun or purification is going to be pleasant. Purification is painful. If inflamed appendix has to be removed, it's going to be painful. If an infected gallbladder with gallstones has to be removed, it's going to be painful. If an abscess has to be removed, pus has to be removed, it's going to be painful. There is no way around getting lanced. You have to get a cut, incision. So purification, because we have infection, we have so much pus, we have infected appendix, infected gallbladder, because we have so many problems inside us. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego, anartha pravritti, aparad pravritti. Because we have so many problems inside us, that purification is going to be painful. But we should nevertheless sincerely pray for purity. In fact, let us pray right now. My dear Guru Gauranga, please purify us. Please purify us. Please free us from lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego, and the pravritti, the tendency to commit nama prad, which includes Vaishnava prad. We don't want to commit nama prad. We don't want to commit Vaishnava prad. We don't want to act under the influence of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego. Please protect us, Krishna. Please save us. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Please protect us. Please purify us. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Shuddha Habemana. Please purify us and please give us Krishna Prem. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Please give us Krishna Prem. But this purification will be painful, my dear friends. We will be embarrassed. We will be humiliated. We will be exposed. We will make mistakes. We will feel guilty. This is all part of purification. And when we go through this purification, we should be very grateful. We should be happy internally. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj says that when a devotee goes through difficulty, when a devotee goes through reversals, he becomes very satisfied. He or she becomes very satisfied. Why? Because the devotee knows that now Krishna is not neglecting me. Now Krishna is not neglecting me. Once a question was asked to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj that we see so many devotees, they write blasphemous comments against devotees on the internet. They criticize. They criticize Prabhupada. They criticize so many devotees. All sorts of people are there in this world. And nothing happens to them. They get a promotion. They buy a bigger house. They buy the third car. They go for parties, they go for vacations, they enjoy, they're having a good time. Nothing is happening to him. Where is the cholera that afflicted Amogha? Where is the leprosy that afflicted Gopal Chakravarti and Gopal Chapala? Where, why? Nothing is happening. Where is the Sudarshan Chakra that was chasing after Durvas Muni? What's wrong? Why are they not getting punished for their Vaishnava Aparad? They have criticized this Maharaj, they have criticized Prabhupada, they have criticized this devotee, that devotee. They are playing politics and they are getting away with it. Radhanath Maharaj said, when Krishna is not giving us instant karma, like this thief who stole from Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj and who pushed Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he got instant reaction. Srila Radhanath Maharaj said, when we get instant karma, when we get instant reaction, when we get instantly punished by Krishna, Amogha got cholera within 2-3 hours. Gopal Chapal got full-blown end-stage leprosy within 24 hours. Gopal Chakravarti's nose fell off because of leprosy within a day or two. Instant karma, instant reaction, instant punishment. Srila Radhanath Maharaj says, when we get instant punishment from Krishna, it is Krishna's supreme mercy. Because this punishment leads to guilt, leads to repentance, leads to begging of forgiveness, leads to being forgiven, and leads to purification and spiritual advancement. And we get Krishna. So that cholera, that leprosy, that humiliation is worth it. Because we get Krishna. We get Pranadhan, Krishna. And devotees who apparently are getting away with their apradhas, who are apparently getting away with their blasphemy, Srila Radhanath Maharaj says, they are most unfortunate. Why they are most unfortunate? Because Krishna has chosen to neglect them. Hare Krishna. And Krishna doesn't want to deal with them. Krishna will let his external energy deal with them. Oh, what a misfortune. But when Krishna intervenes and gives punishment, that is Krishna's yoga maya, Krishna's internal potency who is dealing with us. We want to be dealt with by Srimati Radharani. We do not want to be dealt with by Srimati Radharani in her form as Durga Devi. So we should be very grateful when Krishna punishes. Therefore, it is with deep realization that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj says that when a devotee goes through problems, a devotee goes through trials and tribulations and reversals, the devotee becomes very satisfied because now Krishna is not neglecting me. These are some of the thoughts, my dear friends, I wanted to share with you all. Sorry, I'm 1 minute over. It's 9:01 a.m. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupad ki jai, Bhakti Sangha Bhakta Vrind ki jai. All glories to all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very wonderful class. I like your narration of the pastimes of Amshidash Babaji. You just explained very well about the Prithu Maharaj and Indra's envy and everything, pastimes. So, a very nice class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for very beautiful and ecstatic narration of Vamsidas Babaji's life story. It was so wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for all the excitement that you displayed while speaking the story. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was a very beautiful class. So, Prabhuji, I also had one question, and this is regarding Prithu Maharaj. So, we see that Indra became scared that Prithu was performing so many sacrifices his position would be usurped or something like that. But my question is, we see, of course, this is a pattern that is happening with Indra all the time. My question was, where is the need for Indra to be scared? Because he has to finish his term as Indra, right? He has a fixed term as Indra, and only after his term is over, the next Indra would come, right? So where is the need for him to be scared? I didn't understand that. Because all the time he feels scared about someone or the other taking up his position. But the next Indra will come only after his term is over, right? So where is the need for him to have that envy all the time?
Hare Krishna. thank you, Prithi Vilasini Mataji. So, in the preceding verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, let me pull up the exact verse. It is said by Maitreya Muni that as Prithu Maharaj was performing these yajnas, his fame and his strength was increasing. His fame and his strength was increasing, and because of this increase in his fame and strength, Indra became, he tried to impede the progress because the opulence also of Prithu Maharaj started increasing. So Indra is very opulent. His descriptions are there. So I'll read, it's text number 10. Prithu Maharaj was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja. Now listen carefully. Because King Prithu performed so many sacrifices, he was superhumanly enhanced by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. King Prithu's opulence, however, could not be tolerated by the King of Heaven, Indra, who tried to impede the progress of his opulence. So this is envy, Mataji. If I have $1 billion and I see that someone else also is becoming a billionaire, I can be satisfied with my $1 billion are not being taken by that person. I have my own $1 billion. But just because someone else also is going to become a billionaire and he's going to enjoy the same opulences like me, I become envious and I try to do some political maneuver so that that person doesn't become a billionaire like me. So that type of envious mentality of pulling down Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj was getting such opulences as a byproduct of his performance of the yajnas, that he was becoming as opulent, his kingdom was becoming as opulent as Swargalok. So this made Indra intolerant and envious and insecure. So not that Prithu Maharaj was going to become the Indra, that term is guaranteed for Indra Dev. But he had this false insecurity, false feeling of threat that Prithu Maharaj will become as powerful as me and he might attack me like Bali Maharaj attacks me. He might attack me and that way it's a false fear. No, there is no, it's unfounded. There is no foundation for that fear. But that irrational fear Indra developed. And also, he could not see that there could be two personalities in this Brahmanda who are as opulent as Indra. There should be only one Indra. There should be only one Indra. So this bhav can also come in us also, that there should be only one bhakti vaibhav in this conversation. Or there should be only one person who chants so many rounds in this congregation, or there should be only one person who has given so many classes in this congregation, or there should be only one person who can dress the deities on Sunday for Sunday feast in this congregation. So these are some thoughts, Mataji. Does that help?
Yes, Prabhuji, very, very beautifully explained. Thank you so much. This clears all the doubt. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very grateful.
Jai Guru Gauranga. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभुजी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर एस यू सेल योर वंडरफुल नेक्टेरियन क्लास प्रभुजी थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर बंसीदास बाबाजी स्टोरी आमेंद्र महाराज स्टोरी एंड हाउ वी हैव टू ऑब्जर्व इन जपा प्रभुजी बट मी वेरी फॉलन सॉल व्हेन सम वैष्णवा केम टू अवर हाउस और माय मदर बिकम इल फर्स्ट 11 राउंड इज By Gopinath Mercy, good, but little last 5 rounds, Prabhuji, it's totally mechanical if I'm not completing the morning time. So what should I do? I will try my best, but sometimes I have to get up 3 to 4 times for my ma. So not able to complete my round in the morning, 4-5 rounds remaining. That is totally material. And I feel very bad that it's... The karma is going to my Maharaj, but still, Prabhuji, I cannot complete my, sometimes, once in a month or once in a, 2 times in a month, morning my japa round.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you for your sincerity. I feel very inspired by your simplicity, your commitment, and your humility. You are also a little bit like Avadhut. Very difficult.
Well,
very difficult one. So all glories to you. Hare Krishna.
No, Prabhuji. My point, I forgot to inform you that whenever we hear from the senior Vaishnava,
today about Amendra Prabhu and Babaji's stories and all the Bhagavatam class given by Senior Vaishnava, then they give a slap. It's give a slap to me. What are you doing? You are in Maya. You have to, if you are get up 5:15, get up 4:45, but complete your round in the morning. That's why Pranam, Hare Krishna. So this is the power of Vaishnava assistant. Thank you, Prabhu, for correcting me. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopi Mataji. Mataji, because you mentioned Amarinder Prabhu, I will, maybe Krishna wants me to say something. So I will very quickly in 1 minute say something about Amarinder Prabhu. I was actually talking in my class about Mukundat Prabhu. His amazing way of worshipping his deities and offering bhoga with such love. But somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, you mentioned Amarinder Prabhu, so I'll quickly mention something about him. When Amarinder Prabhu had come here, one day my wife, she made dudhi ka sabji. She made sabji and somehow it became very salty. There was too much salt in it. And of course, after offering Krishna, then Radhabha served me and Amarinder Prabhu. And I said, there's too much salt in this dudhi. Can you give me some dahi? I'll mix some yogurt in this dudhi sabji so that when I eat it with chapati, it will not taste so salty. It will reduce the saltiness. So I took dahi and then I gave dahi to Amarinder Prabhu. So I offered him, Prabhu, you also take some dahi on that vegetable, then it will taste less salt. He said, nahi, Prabhu, nahi chahiye. It's fine, I'll eat it. So I asked him, why, Prabhu, why? I kept asking him, why? So then he revealed very shyly that Thakurji has eaten with too much salt. So then how can I not do the same, not follow in his footsteps? If Thakurji can eat the salty, then why should I satisfy my taste buds by making it less salty? Then I should also eat that salty thing only now, because I fed it to Thakurji. I fed it to Krishna. So again, the devotees are so sweet. There's, you know, what deep bhav they have. And what love they have for Krishna. So, just wanted to share that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah, we have way over time. It's 9:11. So, we should end the class now. Thank you very much. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha Kalpataru Yasha Kripa Sindhu Beja. Patitanam Pavane.
Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Rangaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji ki jai.
Ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Aap logo ki jai.